I'll go ahead and get started now. Hi, everybody. My name is Jason Rogers. I'm the lead program manager for anti-malware and advanced threat protection in O365. I want to keep this super informal today, so you guys have questions, just shout them out, interrupt me, no big deal. Kept the content pretty tight, so we should have plenty of time to address questions. Today, I'm going to tell you about advanced threat protection, a little bit about the threat landscape in O365 right now. But then for the demo portion, instead of demoing, I'm going to give what's going to amount to a little tutorial on how to set up ATP in your tenant. And then some advanced tricks you guys might enjoy. So this probably isn't a huge surprise to anybody, but malware volumes in O365 are definitely on the rise. Year over year, the amount of malware that malicious actors are attempting to send through our service has gone up by 600% year over year. And not only are we seeing a lot more volume, but we're seeing a lot more sophisticated attacks. So it's not just, a year ago you'd see a bunch of executables that were malicious, right? That's easy to catch. Now it's, it's Trojans that are Word docs where macros go out and download secondary content, and it's really that secondary content that bites you. And not just the individual malware is getting more sophisticated, the campaigns are getting more sophisticated too. So what this shows is an actual Locky malware campaign that came through our system. And each one of these different colors in this graph represents a different variant of the same delivery system. So really, keep in mind, this isn't even the malware. This is what they're using to deliver the malware. This is the primary content. But in some cases, we'll see hundreds or even thousands of different variants of the same thing getting sent out at the same time. So this is the entire anti-malware stack for Office 365 for mail. So there's going to be another session tomorrow that goes deep on this entire stack. I've got a pointer to it at the end. I'd encourage everybody to come if you've got time. But today, we're specifically going to zero in on safe attachments and safe links. Those are the two features that make up advanced threat protection. So for safe attachments, when you have an email that's got attachments, when we get to the safe attachments portion of our pipeline, if you've got an ATP add-on SKU or if you're an E5 tenant, then ATP comes with it. We'll actually take copies of the attachments and we'll send them into a sandbox environment. So it's a specially modified set of hypervisors that are instrumented to look at behavioral changes within that hypervisor environment. So we look at what's going on in the memory. We look at attempts to obfuscate typically it's macro or script that they're obfuscating, but obfuscation attempts. We look at evasion attempts. So a lot of times bad guys will try to write their malware to detect when it's inside of a virtual environment and not run so they can avoid this type of detection. But that's a great flag for us to see that something fishy is going on just based on the evasion techniques by themselves. We had a great one earlier where they were actually doing geolookups on the IPs where their virus was being hosted, and then they had that mapped to the physical location of every Microsoft data center. So they were trying to figure out that if the attachment was being opened in one of our data centers. But that was a easy catch for us because we see them doing those lookups. So we collect a bunch of information about what's going on in that hypervisor, about what secondary network connections were made, attempts for this thing to persist itself. So we take all those signals and we run them through a machine learning model and a static rule set to try to determine what combination of events is malicious behavior, not just something suspicious. So the second piece of advanced threat protection is safe links. So with safe links, it's time of click protection for URLs in your email. So we can we take all the URLs that are contained inside the email, we wrap them in a safe link, and then when the recipient clicks on the URL, they don't go to the target, they go to our server, and we check the reputation of that URL at the last possible second after they click. So a lot of times, malicious actors will send a malware campaign that has a URL that points to something malicious, but they'll wait 10 minutes or 15 minutes after they send the campaign to flip that content over to something malicious. So then we'll pick up that reputation later, but by that time, it's too late. There's nothing that can be done. But if you've got safe links, then when your user, you know, an hour later clicks on that link, we'll be able to still block it. So if the link looks good, then a redirect happens and they're taken seamlessly to the target server. So those are the two features that make up advanced threat protection. But really what I wanted to spend time with today is showing you how to set it up. I think there's a lot of, who here already has ATP? Maybe I should ask that first. Okay, so I think generally there's some misconception that it's difficult to configure. I hope your experience has been that it's dead easy. It's just like setting up any other policy within O365, and I'll show you that right now. But really, you should be able to protect your entire organization in just a couple of minutes of work. In fact, we've had customers call us, and they'll be mid-campaign. They'll be getting attacked. And we'll be able to get ATP set up for them and block the attack in the middle. It's that fast. So let me go ahead and jump over. So the question was, is this an EOP product? Do your mailboxes have to be hosted? The answer is no. You can have completely on-premise mailboxes. You can have hybrid configurations. You can be completely hosted. Now, if you are hosted, there are a couple of additional things that we can do. There's a new feature that's going to be coming out that I'll talk more about at tomorrow's session called Dynamic Email Delivery, where we'll send the body of the email. You'll actually receive the email right away while we're scanning the attachment in the background, and so you know, that way you don't have to wait the 5 minutes for the sandboxing to occur. There's a notification that comes through on the email. They can click on, and it shows them the kind of the progress of the detonation. Lets them know that, that we're in the process of scanning. Then, when the scan is complete in the mailbox, we automatically flip it, and the attachment just appears. And the mail goes back to unread. So very seamless experience. Yes. Yes. OK, so this is just a standard E5 tenant that I provisioned this morning. Yep. Still use this portal. Now, for those of you that are, you know, more advanced or used to on-premise exchange management, you can use PowerShell for all of this too if you want to. So there's an advanced threats tab here. So this is just going to be basic setup of the safe attachments feature. We're already on safe attachments. We'll just add a new policy. Give it a name. Now I'm just going to choose to replace. So this is what action do you want us to take in the event that we find something malicious. So there's a monitor mode where we'll release the mail and you can just get statistics on what we're catching. Or there's a block where we'll drop the entire mail, or replace where we'll send the body through but strip the attachments, just like malware replace and EOP. There will be an additional item here for dynamic email delivery when that releases, so that'll just pop up in your policy. I Yeah, I don't know if I can do that on here. So admin redirect is just if we find something malicious, do you want us to send you a copy? Which is great. It's a great way to analyze what's hitting your service. Now this checkbox is just if we have an error or if we have a timeout, do you want us to treat that mail as malicious? My recommendation is typically not to do that, but if you're feeling like you want to be really, really extra careful, then you can check that box. Now, let me just... And then you scope the policy. So you can scope it by domain or by a group or down to the individual recipient. So when you roll out to a large organization, sometimes it's easy. You've already got DLs for different departments. You can just roll out each department by adding the DLs to your policy. But the fastest way to do it is just select all the domains in your organization and hit OK, and that's it. You just set up safe attachments. That easy. It's just a handful of clicks, a little bit of information, and you're being protected right away. Safe links is actually even easier to set up. Oops. So all that's required is turn it on. And you're done. So there are options here. When your users click on a safe link, we track those clicks. And you can see them in a feature called URL trace. But some companies' privacy policies and some countries' privacy policies don't really allow that sort of tracking. So you've got the option to turn it off if you'd like to. And then on the block page, there's an option to allow the user to continue on to the link, even though we've blocked it. So if once again, if you want to be extra careful, you can check this box and not allow them to ignore our suggestion. Yeah, there's just a, when they click on the link, then they just they get presented with a like you said, a splash page in the web browser instead of being taken. No, not yet. Although that's definitely on the list. It's scary enough. It's a big red, yeah. Whoops. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you can pull monthly reports on. Yeah. Yep. For both safe attachments and safe links, and then also, I don't know if you had a chance to see any of the threat intelligence sessions, but there's going to be a lot of information that gets exposed in Threat Explorer around what's happening in the detonation chamber as well. So same deal, scope the policy. Let me see. Oops. Well, I'm not going to take you through through scoping. It's the exact same scoping as we have on safe attachments. You can scope by domain, you can scope by DL, you can scope by recipient. So once we have safe attachments and safe links policy set up, then like I said, you're immediately being protected. But sometimes you want to conditionally not use either one of these. So, you know, maybe, and if it's, if you want to exclude a particular recipient, that's easy. You can just scope the policy differently. But if you want to exclude a sender, or if you want to exclude a specific IP, or, you know, mail that's from a specific domain, there are ways in Exchange Transport Rules, and that's what I'm going to show you next, to do that for safe attachments and for safe links. So you can completely customize. Yeah, go ahead.
We used it only during our early release program before it became public. We only did it within our demo, like pilot group of IT people. We were still really still in a hybrid situation where
I will show you how to do exactly what you want to do right now. And we'll use that specific example. So you just click on the Mailflow tab, and now we're in rules, and so these are exchange transport rules. And so we can create a new rule, and so what we'll do is we'll say for any mail that's inside of your organization, we'll skip safe attachments processing. So, well, it's not really rights management. So this is saying that if it's a mail that's internal to your organization, then we're not gonna peel off those attachments and send them into the sandbox. So I'm assuming that you guys didn't wanna have that extra latency for internal mails. Yeah.
The on-prem user got the attachment right away, and the pilot group in the cloud didn't get it later. But they were already receiving responses within a discussion thread of that email they get to receive. So it became very, disjointed.
Yeah, and it sounds like that time was maybe a little hot. Typically, delivery times, right around 5 minutes, yeah. So, we will skip safe attachments. So we're going to apply the rule based on the sender. And this is internal, external, inside the organization. So now this rule is going to fire for any mail that's internal mail. And what we want to do is we want to modify message properties. And we're going to set a message header. And it's just organization, skip, safe, attachments, processing. And assuming I didn't misspell anything, and then you set a header value of just one, it doesn't matter, just set it to anything. We don't use it. And that's all there is to it. Now, all your internal mail is going to skip safe attachments processing. You can do the exact same thing with any set of predicates or conditions that you want. If you wanted to do it for safe links, it's just use the X header that says skip safe links processing instead of safe attachments processing. Okay, if I can find my mouse. So this is the session that I'm doing tomorrow that's going to walk through a lot more of the EOP stack. We've got some folks from the anti-spam side there as well, and they're going to talk through anti-phish, spoof, normal spam filters, and then I'll go through our entire filtering pipeline for anti-malware as well. And that's it. Please don't forget to leave feedback. Does anybody have any other questions or anything else you'd like to know about ATP? We've got about a couple minutes, like two. Safe links and safe attachments, yeah. So they make up the Advanced Threat Protection Suite, and that's built right into EOP. Yeah, for that, your mailbox has to be hosted. And there's another feature called zero hour auto purge that we can use to pluck mails back out. Oh, you're familiar? Yeah, so that you'd have to have a hosted mailbox for as well, but everything else in the stack, you can do hosted or on-prem or hybrid.
It's just over EOP transport rule limit, I think it's 300. Is that still in place?
Yeah, I think there's still a 300. It's always going up. I think it's still at 300 right now, but I think a year ago, it was probably at 100. Now they bounced it to 3. And I think in select cases, if you call up support, they'll bump it up as much as you need. So, yeah.
Exception list for
Yes, we're working on that, specifically for the do not wrap list. Yeah, and we're also going to add in wildcards too. That's going to be coming soon. Yeah. Or you can effectively do the same thing with ETRs if you want to. That's a good way to get around the limit. Mm-hmm. That scan time is about 5 minutes. Yep. So, and that's just the time it takes to launch the three hypervisor environments, and we have to wait for the bad stuff to happen. The timeout period is 30 minutes, yeah. I don't believe so. I can give you the name of a guy, though, if you have DMARC questions. It knows everything about DMARC. Yes. So 6 hours means something else happened. That ATP will never take longer than 30 minutes for the ATP portion itself. It's possible there was a mail loop or there's something else in the pipeline that caused that delay. Yeah, so inside of URL trace, you can figure out exactly who got or who clicked on a malicious link and get that list and go remediate. You can also see, you can filter on who clicked through the block as well. So there's a link at the bottom of the block page that's configurable, and it would allow them to proceed to the link or to the target even if we've blocked it. But that's optional for you. You can turn that off. That was the checkbox I showed you that said do not allow click-throughs. But if they click through, then that's the group that you know, you really need to go and have a talk with.
How about something that's detected after the fact? Like, it gets through as clean, but you guys determine
after the fact. So for a link, so in the case of a link, it's not going to matter because it's when they click on it, because we're checking our reputation at the time of click. And so even if it's 3 days later and that link goes bad when they click on it, or 5 years later when they click on it, they'll still get the absolute latest reputation. All right. Yes. Yeah. You can exclude the IPs. Yep, you bet. Yeah, it's actually in the deck. So if you grab this deck from the, I think each session you can, in a day or so, you'll be able to grab the decks. I've got those headers on the screen that I had explaining the demo.
Yeah.